Welcoming all of you to the Bhakti Sangha conference call. Today we are very fortunate to have Her Grace Kalasudha Mataji on the call with us. Mataji is going to enlighten us on the topic of Sri Madhurashtakam by Sri Vallabhacharya. Thank you very much, Mataji. Please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. All glories to Guru Maharaj. Thank you very much for giving your very valuable time and association to us this morning and enlightening us on the topic of Sri Madhurashtakam. I hand over the call to you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much, Indu Mataji, for your very graceful welcoming. Thank you for the opportunity. Hare Krishna. Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurum Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Radhanaya Swami Niti Namine Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Jayapataka Swami Niti Namine Namo Acharya Padaya Nitai Kripa Pradayine Gaurakatha Dhamadaya Nagaragramatarine Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Mukham Karoti Vachanam, Pangu Langaya Tegirim, Yat Kripata Mahambande, Sri Guru Vinakarinam, Paramananda Matham, Sri Chaitanya Isharam, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So we will continue on with Sri Madhurashtakam, written by Sri Vallabhacharya. We will continue with text 3 onwards.
Venur Madhura, Venur Madhura, Panir Madhura. Pado madhura, nrityam madhuram, sakhyam madhuram, madhuradhipate, akhilam madhuram.
Translation: his flute is sweet, his foot dust is sweet, his hands are sweet, his feet are sweet, his dancing is sweet, his friendship is sweet, everything is sweet about the emperor of sweetness. So here Krishna's, the first sweetness that is described here is Krishna's Venu, the flute of Krishna. You see, the Venu, the gopis actually describe the extreme good fortune of the flute in Srimad Bhagavatam in the 10th canto, in the 21st verse, especially in the 9th verse. The gopis are saying that although the flute is male, we cannot imagine what sort of sadhana and bhajan he must have performed in his previous birth, that in our very presence it is drinking the nectar of Damodar's lips, which rightfully belongs to us alone. He is not even sparing a drop of that rasa for us. on the pretext of their blossoming lotus flowers, the rivers which have nourished the flute with their water are exhibiting symptoms of ecstatic horripilation. The trees, who are forefathers of the flute, are equal to the best of men. Seeing their descent filled with such intense love for the Lord, they have become overjoyed, and tears of ecstasy are flowing from their eyes. Very beautifully, the gopis are speaking about the good fortune of the flute. That the flute is actually a male, you know, and also it is considered to be in Shantaras, completely in Shantaras. It is in passive devotional service to the Lord. It's not actively serving Krishna on its own. Whenever Krishna wants, he picks up the flute and he uses it. The flute is otherwise either, you know, Krishna is holding it in his hand, or Krishna sometimes tucking it in his waist, or sometimes he is, you know, just using it like a little, you know, little stick, you know, or sometimes it's just lying on the floor. So the flute is not actively serving Krishna on its own. It is in Shantaras, it is passively serving Krishna. That whenever Krishna wants it, that time Krishna is picking up the flute and giving his Adharamrita. He is touching the flute to his lips and he's blowing into the flute. So what is the special qualification of the flute that it has is attained to such an esteemed position of being able to relish the transcendental nectar of Krishna's lotus lips? What is the special privilege? And what is the kind of austerities that this particular flute has undergone? It is said that it is not easy to become the flute. The flute, if you see, it is made out of bamboo. But the bamboo is completely hollow from inside. The flute, it has to be made hollow from inside. So first of all, it is taken from the bamboo, you know, grove. A thin kind of a bamboo, you know, twig is taken. And then it is dried out. Then all the insides is, you know, nicely carved and, you know, it's just scraped out, scraped out, scraped out. It's a painful process. When the little bamboo is leaving from the parent grove of bamboos, the other bamboos are crying, oh, our little, you know, tree is going away. And this little tree is crying, oh, I'm getting separated from my family. So there is separation, there is pain. The bamboo is taken away, it is dried out, and then it is scraped. Imagine if someone is constantly scraping us with a tool, how much pain we will feel? The flute is undergoing that much of pain. And then it is carved. Sometimes designs are made on it with hot, you know, like scalpels, little designs are made. And then the actual thing comes. They take a hot iron, which is very, very, you know, it's round in shape, to make the 7 holes and the 8th hole where we blow in. So that, to make the holes, hot iron is taken and it is inserted into the bamboo to make those holes. So painful, such a painful process. It is a very, very painful process for the bamboo to undergo that. And the bamboo is undergoing all of this pain, separation from family, separation from the loved ones, separation from everybody else. And all of this, you know, scraping going on and this, you know, digging into him going on, he's tolerating all of that. And then finally the day comes when the flute is ready, that Krishna is picking up that flute and he is giving the flute the amrita, the nectar coming out from his lotus lips. So what austerities the flute is doing? What great austerities the flute is actually rendering to be able to be, in that position where Krishna picks it up and touches the flute to his lotus lips. This is the kind of austerity. And what are we doing? We are sitting in nice AC rooms. If we have to go out into Harinam for even a couple of hours and be in the sun, it's a torture for us, right? We are not ready to take on any kind of difficulty, any kind of hurdles, even something as simple as just getting up in the morning, early morning in the Brahma Muhurta to chant our japa. We are not able to do that spontaneously. We have to chastise our mind every single day to be able to wake up during Brahma Muhurta. And we always find excuses. Oh, yesterday night, you know, I slept at 1:30. How can I get up today? It's so difficult. Our mind is so conditioned that any kind of difficulty, any kind of austerity is extremely difficult for us to undergo. So how can we expect mercy coming from Krishna? So unless we are taking some steps towards Krishna, how will Krishna take any steps towards us? So we must see through the life of these great personalities, how they are and what they are doing, how they are doing and what are they doing, that Krishna is reciprocating with them so amazingly. It's not that it's just happening by chance or that Krishna is giving a special favor to such class of devotees. No, they are also doing their part, where, and then they are forcing Krishna to act and reciprocate in that way. When we chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra with the proper attitude, with the proper mood, with the proper consciousness, that Krishna, I am yours. Please engage me in your loving service. Please, I am suffering in this world. I have forgotten you. And all I want is that you pick me up and engage me in your service. That's all I want of Krishna. When we chant the Maha Mantra, if this is our mood, then we will be blessed with service opportunities. Krishna will definitely bless us with opportunities to render service to him for the pleasure of the devotees, for the pleasure of Krishna. So that is how we must cultivate our mood, that we must try to do some austerities, take on some kind of hardship for the pleasure and satisfaction of Guru and Krishna. Now the hardships that we take on, the austerities that we take on, it should not be mental speculation. Oh, you know what, Kartik is coming up and I really want to lose some weight, so let me go on this kind of a fast. It will be, you know, fasting for Kartik as well as I'll lose some weight. That's complete mental speculation. If we want to do any kind of austerity, if we want to do any kind of fast, then it should be according to what is entailed in our Shastra. It should not be any kind of mental speculation. We should not say, oh, look at this, that now, you know, Kartik is coming up, so I will just do a, you know, this kind of a fast. I will just do a milk fast for the entire month. No, that is not what is recommended in the Shastra. So we must be very careful that we do not use our own mental speculation in rendering any kind of austerity. We must take the guidance of senior Vaishnavas, of our Guru Vargas, and we must take the guidance of the Shastra, that what is entailed in the Shastra, and we must follow that. Then that is doing regulative devotional service. So we must be very careful when we do take on any kind of austerity, that not just depend on our mind thinking that, you know, okay, this is also austerity and this way also I will please Krishna. This is not the way that we can really please Krishna, because we are acting according to our own whims and fancies and not acting according to the verdict given in the Shastra. We must be very, very careful about this whole thing. So therefore, the gopis, they are glorifying the good fortune of the venu, of the flute. But what great austerities this flute has undergone to be able to reciprocate with Krishna, with his Adharamrita, with the nectar coming from his lotus lips. How fortunate is the flute. And it has undergone so much of difficulty, so much of personal austerity. It has taken on, you know, inflictions upon himself. And he has attained that position so that Krishna will pick him up and put him across his lips and blow into him and produce such beautiful transcendental sound vibrations that will attract the hearts of millions and millions of fallen souls, conditioned souls like us. That is our hope, that one day we can listen to the transcendental vibration coming from Krishna's flute. This is the sweetness of Venu, of the flute. Venur Madhura. Venur Madhura, Renur Madhura. Even the Renu, the dust of the lotus feet of Krishna, the foot dust, the dust of the lotus feet of Krishna, that is also glorious. In fact, it is said that the dham, you know, we actually roll in the dust of the dham. Why do we do that? Because that dust has been touched by Krishna himself. Whenever we enter the premises of the dham, we offer obeisances by touching our head to the dust of the dham. We're supposed to be doing that. Why do we do that? Because Krishna, Mahaprabhu, they have walked on that very dham, on that land. They have walked with their lotus feet. And the dust of their lotus feet is still there upon that land. And that is what makes it a dham. That is what makes it a place of pilgrimage. It makes it sacred. So we offer our obeisances to the dham, to the dust of the dham. And we roll ourselves in the dust of the dham. With what desire do we do that? We do that so that we can, our entire body, which is so contaminated right now, it is so full of faults and defects, and it is so contaminated, so dirty, that when we roll in the dust of the dham, we hope and pray that our bodies get purified, our minds get purified, our intelligence gets purified, our ego is completely deflated. And with that deflated ego, we can surrender to Krishna. Our only ego, our true ego is that Jivar Swarup Hai Krishna Nityada. That is our ego. That is our true identity. But we have false ego with us. False ego is that I am the Lord of all I survey. I am the greatest. There's nobody as great as me. That is false ego. Ego basically just means identity. So what is our actual identity? Our identity is that we are eternal part and parcel of Krishna. And that we are meant to serve Krishna. That is our eternal identity. That is our eternal constitutional position. So with that ego, when we surrender to Guru and Krishna, they accept us. They purify us. And this is the process that we get purified. It is said that there are, you know, Bhaktir Mahabal. Mahaprabhu says in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita that there is three most greater powers of bhakti. And what are they? Bhakta Padajal, the water that has washed the lotus feet of the devotees. Bhakta Padajal means Charnamrita basically. So Bhakta Padajal, Bhakta Pada Renu, the dust of the lotus feet of the devotees. Bhakta Padajal, Bhakta Pada Renu, and Bhaktir Uchishta. Eight
তিন হচ্ছে ভক্তির মহাবল। ভক্তির উচ্ছিষ্টা মিন্স দ্য রেমনেন্টস ফ্রম দ্য প্রসাদম অফ দ্য পিওর ডিভোটিস। ইফ ইউ ক্যান ইট দ্য রেমনেন্টস অফ প্রসাদম ফ্রম দ্য পিওর ডিভোটিস, দেন দ্যাট ইজ দ্য গ্রেট 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 স্ট্রেংথ। ইন এ ভক্তপদ জল, উই অল নো the great story of this particular king who, you know, the story of Kaliya. You know, I have told this story many times, that how Kaliya had the great fortune to make Krishna dance upon his hood. It's not very, very easy, you know, for Krishna to come and put his lotus feet upon anybody's head. So what great activity did this Kaliya do actually to be able to, you know, have this special privilege of having Krishna to dance on his lotus feet? So that story is explained in the Padma Purana. It is said that in his previous life, this Kaliya was a very, very powerful king, but he had a lot of, you know, stomach issues. You know, he had a very weak stomach. So one day Narad Muni visited him and said that, oh, my dear king, you have such, you know, you are a very nice person, but, you know, you are having this kind of suffering and you are not able to sit in one place. So, you know, do one thing. There's one way that you can get rid of this, a disease, and that is that if you eat the flesh of this Kulinga bird, then you will be able to, you know, get rid of this disease. So the king was very grateful to Narada, and, you know, he offered obeisances to Narada and said, okay, thank you very much, my dear Narada Muni, for giving me this solution. I have tried so much, so many different things, but nothing seems to be working out, so I'll try this. And where can I find these Kulinga birds, by the way? So Narad Muni said that, you know, just on the outskirts of your kingdom, this Kulinga birds, this special category of birds are there, and you can find them. So this king went in search of this Kulinga birds. And when the king went in the kingly attire and with his, you know, soldiers, he went to the outskirts and he found that there were so many Kulinga birds. But when they went to catch the Kulinga birds, the birds flew away. So they were not able to catch them. So one of the ministers advised the king that, my dear king, why don't you wear the vastra of a sadhu, you know, and, you know, just wear that kind of a cloth, like a mendicant, and then just go and sit below a tree near those Kulinga birds. Then, you know, the birds will not feel challenged by the sadhu. They will not be scared by the sadhu. And then you can slowly catch one of the birds. You know, let's trick the birds that way. So then the king said, okay, let me try that. So then he wore on this, you know, cloth of a mendicant, and he went and sat under a tree, and he started doing some meditation. And as soon as he did that, the birds, you know, started feeling that, oh, this person is not harmful. It's not going to harm me. So all the birds came, you know, flocking towards the king, and the king immediately caught one of the birds. But when the king caught one of the birds, and everyone was rejoicing that, oh, now the disease of the king will be, you know, over. But the king, when it looked into the eyes of that little bird, and that bird looked up at the king said, no, I cannot do this. For my own selfish, you know, motivation, I cannot kill a, you know, a harmless living entity. I cannot do this. So as soon as this thought came in the king's mind, this Kulinga bird started speaking. This Kulinga bird started speaking and said that, oh, my dear king, you are very nice. You've got a very nice and soft heart. So I will give you the way that you can get rid of this disease. Go into the forest through this path, and once you go near that, you know, enter into the middle of the forest, you will see that there is a small little hut over there, and that there is a, you know, very, very powerful rishi you know, a yogi who is sitting there. And if you just wash the lotus feet of that, that sadhu, and if you drink that water, then your disease will immediately be vanquished. You'll be free of the disease. So this king was very happy, and he thanked the Kulinga bird, and he went into the forest, and then he saw that there was indeed a sadhu who was sitting there. And the sadhu, he was sitting with one of his legs down, with his right leg down. He was sitting there, but his feet, you know, it had, you know, it was very much diseased. His foot was very diseased. There was, you know, pus and blood coming out of that foot. It was looking very diseased. So although the king came there to serve the sadhu and to wash the lotus feet of the sadhu, but the king, you know, saw that and he said, oh no, how can I wash this feet? But then because I have to drink the water from this feet, how can I do that? It looks very ghastly. No, I can't do that. So then he requested the sadhu that, my dear sadhu baba, can you please put your left foot down? The sadhu baba put his left foot down, and the left foot was worse than the right one. There were even worms that were there in that foot. So now it doesn't look nice that, okay, now I'll go back to the right foot. If the king would say that, you know, it would become very not proper etiquette. So the king, he had to wash the left foot of the sadhu and then collected it on a little vessel. But there was worms roaming around. So the king said, no way I'm going to drink this water. It's going to be very troublesome for me to drink this water. So, you know, I don't mind living my entire life with this disease that I have, but I cannot drink this water. So all he did was that he took that water and he just sprinkled it over his head. And because of that reason, he, you know, it was very ghastly, and that's why he could not drink that water. So that's the reason why, his head actually became purified. Purified to such an extent that Krishna put his lotus feet upon that head. The Bhakta Pada Jal. So glorious is to this, you know, imagine if that water was sprinkled on his head. He became so glorious that Krishna put his lotus feet on his head. If we drink the water, you know, that has washed the lotus feet of Krishna, that has washed the lotus feet of the devotees, then how much purified we will get. So that is one great strength in bhakti, bhakta pada jal. Bhakta Pada Renu, I remember, this is a real life incident of my father, His Grace Bhakta Jana Priya Prabhu. I hope I have his permission to say this. But he explains that what was his, way that he transformed his life into Krishna consciousness, because my father used to be a very ardent follower of, not ISKCON. You know, he was a follower of another, mission, and he was very much into demigod worship. So one time, in the early days of his Krishna consciousness, actually in the beginning days of his Krishna consciousness, he had just been chanting 16 rounds for around 2 weeks at this time. And then one time, actually Srila Jayaprataka Maharaj, our Guru Maharaj, he had visited this particular place where my father was, and in the Middle East, a city called Mathuradesh, codename Mathuradesh. And he came there, and Mathuradesh, you know, it is on the, it's surrounded by ocean. So they went into the ocean with Srila Jayaprataka Maharaj, and Srila Jayaprataka Maharaj was sporting with all the men, and, they were playing some water sports and things like that. And then when he came out of the waters, he sat on a little, you know, beach chair, and there was sand, you know, the beach sand that was collected from his knee downwards all over his lotus feet, right? So Jayapataka Maharaj's lotus feet and his legs were covered with this beach sand. So my father, you know, he just saw that. He just noticed that, that Guru Maharaj was just sitting on this chair and his, you know, feet was covered with this sand and his shoes was right next to it. So, you know, what my father did, I don't know, he was just inspired from within. So what he did was that he just went over to Guru Maharaj and then he just started, you know, dusting away all the dust, the sand from his lotus feet. And from his lotus feet, when he was dusting away the sand, he was taking it, removing the dust, and he was putting on his head. He was removing the dust and putting on his head. And my father, till today, he says that that was the moment that he completely surrendered to the lotus feet of Srila Jayapataka Maharaj. And he completely surrendered his life to Krishna. That was the transformational moment. That, and he was just inspired. It's nobody who had told him, nobody who had, you know, he had not read it anywhere, but he was just inspired to do this particular service. And he just took that dust and he was putting on his head, took the dust and he was putting on his head. And that was the transformational moment. That was the moment of surrender to, you know, Krishna and to Srila Guru Maharaj. So I will never forget that. And of course, from that day onwards, we also started, you know, aspiring for this particular, you know, seva. And that is how we have actually, we are where we are. Because it is the dust of the lotus feet of the pure devotees that gives us the greatest strength in pursuing our Krishna consciousness. The bhakta pada renu and bhakta uchishta, the remnant from the pure devotees, that's what also helps in transformation of our stone-like heart. It will melt, you know, with the fire of Krishna consciousness. So these things are, you know, personal, you know, experiences we can get these, that how powerful these things are. So Renur Madhura, that how sweet is the dust from Krishna's lotus feet. Then the next line says, Panir Madhura. Pani means Krishna's hands. Krishna's hands are so sweet. You know, with these hands, with Krishna's lotus hands, Krishna does all of his sweet activities. All of his sweet activities are directed with the lotus hands of Krishna. So beautiful Krishna's hands are. The hands of Krishna are glorified here. Then we move on to his hands are sweet. His feet are sweet. His lotus feet are so sweet. His nritya, his dancing is so sweet. So about Krishna's dancing, you know, all the elder, of course, we all know how Krishna danced with the gopis of Vrindavan. But when Krishna was very, very young, you know, 3-4 year old, at that time also, the elderly gopis of Vrindavan, they would make Krishna dance. When they would catch Krishna coming to steal butter at their homes, then Krishna would say, no, 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 please don't go and tell, you know, don't go and complain to Mother Jashoda, I will do whatever you say. So the elderly gopis would say, acha, you will do whatever we say, so dance. Dance for us, then we will not say anything to Maya. So then Krishna would start dancing and even the elderly gopis would start dancing with Krishna. So the gopis would, you know, when Narad Muni would witness this, Narad Muni would think that is it Krishna who is making the gopis dance? Or is it the gopis who out of their pure love for Krishna is making Krishna dance to their tune? And Narad Muni would realize that it is actually both. The gopis out of their pure love would make Krishna dance, and Krishna out of his innocent love would also make the gopis dance. That is the beauty of reciprocation with Krishna's love. that there is mutual love. There is, in fact, a competition that whose love is greater. Is it Krishna's love? Then when Krishna's love goes a little higher, then the devotee starts loving Krishna more. Then Krishna starts loving the devotee more. Then there's more, more. So competition is going on that who loves Krishna more. And that is how reciprocation happens in the spiritual world. So Krishna's dancing is extremely sweet. His friendship is extremely sweet. Krishna can do anything, anything for his friends. Sakhyam Madhuram. We have seen this in Brajalila, in Vrindavan pastimes, that Krishna can go to any extent to maintain his friendship with his dear friends. Starting from the Damodar Leela. How Krishna, even at that age, that tender age, how Krishna was so faithful to his friends. Of course there was cheating, but Krishna would cheat out of playful, and because that would increase the love of the Sakhas. You know, and they would cheat each other and they would play with each other so nicely. There was so much love that Krishna would reciprocate with the Sakhas. Krishna would always bring such, you know, nice prasad. Mother Yashoda would pack for Krishna. But one day, when Krishna came, and what Krishna would do every day, Krishna would not eat what is there in his lunch bag. He would in fact, you know, take a little bite, of course, because Mother Yashoda has packed it for him. But he would give away his lunch to all the others, and he would start eating from the other boys' lunch boxes also. From their little potlis, Krishna would eat, just to taste the love of all the other elderly gopis. Krishna would taste the prasad that their mothers have also given for them. So this is how Krishna would do, and then one day, Krishna saw that, you know, Madhu Mangal is kind of hiding. He's hiding. Why is he hiding? Krishna called Madhu Mangal. Madhu Mangal, come here with your snack. What have you brought? Come here. So then Madhu Mangal, you know, that day he was a little scared, that he knew that Krishna would ask. But that day, Madhu Mangal only had some chach. He only had some buttermilk that was there. There was nothing else that Madhu Mangal had, Madhu Mangal's mother had packed for him. And everybody else had some food stuff or the other. But Madhu Mangal had only this little humble drink of chach with him. And Krishna immediately noticed that and said that, Madhu Mangal, come here. I want to see what you have. You take my makhan mishri, you take this, but give me what you have. And Madhu Mangal said, no, no, no. How can I offer just this chach to Krishna? I cannot do that. So Madhu Mangal took that pot of chach and he just filled it in his mouth. And his, you know, he couldn't drink all of it because Krishna was getting on his case and calling Madhu Mangal in the front. So then, you know, he drank, but he was not able to gulp down everything. So Madhu Mangal, you know, came in front of Krishna with the last gulp of buttermilk, the chach, in his mouth. Like that he was. His mouth was filled with chach. So then Krishna said, hey, Madhu Mangal, show me what you have today. And then Madhu Mangal was like, nothing. He was, you know, giving fine gestures that, no, I don't have anything today. So then Kanha said, I see what you have. So then, you know, Madhu Mangal was standing right in front of Krishna. So Krishna went like this, like that. And then a stream of buttermilk, you know, the chach came and Krishna opened his mouth. And straight from Madhu Mangal's mouth, he poured in everything into his mouth. Direct, from mouth to mouth, Krishna drank that fountain of buttermilk coming from Madhu Mangal's lotus mouth. So seeing this, witnessing this, Brahmaji also got confused. That what kind of Supreme Personality of Godhead is this? Who is drinking from the mouth of another person? It is ill. But that Brahma also could not understand that was like better than nectar. It was much, much, much better than nectar, what Krishna was relishing. The stream, the fountain of buttermilk coming from the lotus mouth of Madhu Mangal. So of course then Brahma stole the cowherd boys and he stole the calves. And then, you know, of course Krishna, you know, made him understand that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God. Brahma came and begged forgiveness, all of that happened. But this was what prompted Lord Brahma to doubt the supremacy of Krishna. Because Brahma thought that how can this be the Supreme Personality of Godhead who is doing such a thing? That is how Krishna loves his devotees and his friends. And that is why Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that, my dear Arjuna, you are able to understand this actual import of the Bhagavad Gita because you are not only my bhakta, but you are also my friend. Bhakto time sakha cheti. So if we really need to understand the import of the Bhagavad Gita, we must develop not only a devotional attitude towards Krishna, but a friendly attitude. Friendly attitude means what? Not that we, from tomorrow when we go to address the deities, we, you know, put our hand around the deities and say, hey, you're my friend, Krishna. That's offensive. Being friendly with Krishna means that we really try to genuinely love Krishna. Means we develop the attitude of friendship. Not, you know, who is a real friend? Who really loves us in all circumstances. Who does not abandon us. Who does not question us. A friend in need is a friend indeed. That is the description in material terms of what friendship is. So when we are having any difficulties in our lives, are we questioning Krishna? And Krishna, why did you choose me? When we don't question Krishna, when we get happiness, that, oh Krishna, I don't deserve this happiness. Why did you give me this happiness? We never do that. But as soon as we've got a little difficulty, we say, why me, Krishna? Why did you make me go through this? So that is not a true friend. A true friend is one who has complete faith in the friend. Complete faith that, yes, whatever is happening to me, I have my dear, dear, dear friend Krishna who's going to take care of me no matter what. If I just surrender to Krishna, if I be with Krishna, Krishna will take care of me. Avashya rakshave Krishna e vishwas. This is the faith that the devotee has. That is cultivating friendship. Not being envious towards Krishna. A real friend is never envious or thinking that, oh look, my friend has this, what do I have? That is not friendship. But we want that everything good should happen to our friend. That is real friendship. Then Krishna will reciprocate. Then we will be able to understand what is the actual import of the Bhagavad Gita. When we develop this friendly kind of attitude with Krishna. That is very, very important. So, bhakto sime sakha cheti. And then for that kind of friendship, what does Krishna say? Kanteya pratijanihi name bhakta pranashyati. Then Krishna will truly reciprocate that, okay, this devotee is really, really surrendered to me, and such a devotee will never perish. I will take care of that devotee in all circumstances. So Krishna's friendship is so sweet. Sakhyam madhura. Madhura adhipater akhilam madhuram. So everything is sweet about this master and this emperor of sweetness. Everything is so sweet about this emperor of sweetness. So today we will end here. If there's any questions, comments or reflections, we can take that now. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. We thank all of our online viewers. Thank you so much for being there. Devesh, Aditya, welcome from Hyderabad. Thank you for giving us your association. I wish I could also see all of you. But thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Mataji, thank you very much. Such a sweet nectarian class, Mataji. It was so beautiful. Very grateful to you, Mataji. Does anyone have any questions?
Hare Krishna Mataji, Dhanavad Pranam. Very, very beautiful class, Mataji. Very beautiful pastimes, Mataji. Thank you so much for such a nice and beautiful pastimes, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Mataji, thank you so much for such lovely pastimes. It's really, really beautiful. Thank you so much, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Priti Vilasani. Thank you for this opportunity to serve. Extremely grateful to you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna Mataji, I do have one question.
Yes, please. Go ahead.
While you are narrating all this, it's like, why? I mean, Krishna has taken on many different avatars, many incarnations, and many different forms. But why in this form, you know, he has given so much into it? Like, there are so many pastimes. There are so many special relations that he shared with each and every single person, and it's all so different, so sweet, you know, like how the Madhumanga cluster, I just, where would you see that, you know? He is God, he is the Supreme, but why did he decide to, you know, take on this special form for all of us?
To attract us back home, back to Godhead. This is just a trailer, you know. What is the purpose of a trailer? When we see a trailer, a movie trailer, what does that inspire us to do?
It attracts us to watch the movie.
Correct. So Krishna comes here to the material world and he displays these super magnificent pastimes. But these are just like trailers. So imagine what the actual movie will be. And that we can experience when we go back home, back to Godhead, to the spiritual world. And that is why Krishna is doing these pastimes, so that we can get attracted. We can somehow remember. You know, we are all amnesia-stuck patients. We have forgotten our lost relationship with Krishna. And that's why Krishna comes and tries to remind us that, look, this is what you are missing out. This is how I have pastimes in the spiritual world. So come back and stop being an illusion. So Krishna is trying to make us remember. You know, amnesia-stuck patients, they always get advice by the doctors that they should go back to, you know, places where their memories can get triggered. You know, and they'll remember. Somehow, some memory can get triggered, and they'll remember, oh, yeah, I remember. You know, that's why they're taken to familiar places where they have been before. Similar situations are recreated so that they can somehow or the other remember. And they can, you know, remember their actual, you know, state. So that is why Krishna is doing what he's doing. He is showing us all these pastimes. He is making us experience all this pastime so that we who have forgotten our lost relationship with Krishna, that we can somehow, it will trigger, these pastimes will trigger our eternal relationship with Krishna, that we'll remember. And then we'll say, yes, Krishna, now I remember, please, please, please take me back. That is the eagerness. You know, when we remember our lost relationship with Krishna, then that eagerness becomes genuine. And it becomes very spontaneous. And then we can really, really chant without cessation. We can do devotional service without cessation. But till then, we do it like a prescription, like following a prescription. That's the state we are all in. And we are waiting for that triggering moment when we will remember that we are actually eternal parts and parcels of Krishna, and that Krishna is really doing all of this so that we can remember.
and he can take us back home, back to Godhead. That's the only purpose. Does that answer your question?
Yes, Mataji. Thank you. Mataji, so we all originated in Goloka Vrindavan?
Yes. That's our home.
Okay. But then we did something wrong and that's why we are here.
Yes. What we did wrong is that we started envying Krishna. The envy came in our mind saying that if Krishna can do this, if he is the enjoyer, I too want to enjoy separate from Krishna. I also want to be the Lord. I also want to get worshipped in this very same way. So Krishna says, my dear child, this is not here. If you have to stay, then this is the place that I get worshipped. But if you want to be in the illusion that you want to get worshipped, then I'll put you in that illusion. That's why we come down.
Okay.
Because we want to end with
Krishna. So even when you go back, we should always remember that, right? We should, so that we don't fall out again.
You see, once we have burnt our hands, hopefully we will be intelligent enough that we will not burn our hands again. And Krishna has made that assurance in the Bhagavad Gita that yad gatvana nivartante tad dhama paramam mama, that once you come back to Godhead, I'll make sure that you're not coming back again. That's Krishna's promise in the Bhagavad Gita. So we are safe. You know?
That's very good to know. Very
assuring. Very assuring.
Yeah.
Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna,
Mataji. Very beautiful answer, Mataji. Indu Mataji's question. Very, very beautiful, especially the trailer word that you have used. So true, Mataji. To connect to it exactly, to understand properly the way you said it was so nice, Mataji, these pastimes and all that, you know, to show, to make us more love towards Krishna and go back to Him. So beautifully said, Mataji. Hari Bol, Mataji.
I just repeated the words of Srila Jayapataka Maharaj. That's what he said. So he says that, and I repeated that.
Jai Guru Maharaj. Thank you so much, Mataji.
Hare Krishna.
Okay, does anyone else have any questions? Okay. Thank you so much, Kalasudha Mataji, for your very enlightening class today. We are very deeply grateful to you and look forward to your association again in the future. If nobody has any questions, we can end the call here. Vancha kalpatarubhyascha kripa sindubhya evacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. All things Kalasudha Mataji ki jai. Thank you.
Jai.